Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome Yaakov Lapin, writing for the AMA Research and Education Center, where he's a research associate. China, transforming its economic strength into the Middle East political and military influence. Yaakov, it's a pleasure to welcome you. Your report is comprehensive and vast. So I want to focus right now on Israel and whether China represents the same sort of strategic threat to Israel, to the Middle East, in your opinion, that it is there's evidence it represents in East Asia, in the South China Sea. Good day to you, Yaakov.
Good day, John and Malcolm. It's great to be with you. The short answer to your question is going to be a little confusing, and it's going to be both no and yes, and I'll explain. Directly, you know, on a bilateral level, China represents no threat to Israel and has nothing against Israel. On the contrary, it admires Israel. It's interested in investing in Israel. And it has invested in Israeli high tech. It's invested in Israeli infrastructure, just as it has in so many other countries. And it views Israel as a high tech hub that it has a lot to learn from. But it does represent a challenge, I would say, at least to Israel's long term strategic situation. And that's for the reason that Israel, as an American ally, is very dependent on America's standing in the Middle East. And America's standing in the Middle East is being increasingly challenged by China. And just for that reason alone, when you look at the long-term view of things, it wouldn't be right to look at things in a bilateral sort of narrow vision, but rather Israel as an American ally, and which is actually greatly dependent on its alliance with the United States, is negatively affected by China's rise in the Middle East.
So enemy of my friend makes me worry. Malcolm?
So could you give us a comprehensive view, in brief, about China's goal? Are they asserting themselves in other countries like Syria, Lebanon, the ones that are contested today, Iraq? We know that they're building 95 ports around the world or control them. Is there a similar movement, not in the Gulf, but in the non-Gulf Middle East areas, for them to assert themselves?
Okay, so in the non-Gulf area, certainly China has examined many opportunities. Its first goal is to preserve and to expand its economic interests in the Middle East. A lot of this is based on importing oil from the Middle East, and a lot of this is based on expanding its major infrastructure projects as part of its Belt and Road Initiative in the Middle East. China is greatly dependent on the Middle East to export its own goods to the rest of the world as well. So it's heavily invested in the region. And what it's doing is it's actually quite skillfully, I have to say, is converting this economic and infrastructure power into political power in order to begin to identify cracks in American alliance systems, to take advantage of those cracks, and to undermine America's traditional dominance in the region. So certainly it has looked at non-Gulf countries very systematically. You know, when it comes to Iraq is very important to China as an oil producer, and China is investing heavily in infrastructure products in Iraq, projects. When it comes to Syria, I believe you asked about Syria. China is certainly interested in Syria. Right now, it's mainly a humanitarian assistance presence, but there are reports about China playing a role in Syrian military force buildup projects. These are not things that have happened yet, but they could happen. And certainly China sees an opportunity to begin competing in Syria because there are lucrative reconstruction projects on offer there. So, you know, it's just going country by country and seeing, you know, where it can enter, where it can utilize economic interest and then convert those into political interests and also into a military presence gradually. I'm not comparing China's very limited military presence today to the United States, but gradually, if you give it time, you know, they are building a base, a logistics naval base in the UAE, which I think is actually very alarming from an American perspective, because if the UAE, which is supposed to be a very close American ally, is allowing China to build a base, that says something about America's status and standing in the region.
The BRICS meeting, Johannesburg, just concluded. I understand that India was not for expansion. China was driving this. In the immediate area around Israel, we have Iran, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, and Ethiopia added. To what end? Can you tell us, Yaakov, what their thinking is in Beijing?
So, you know, what China's interested in doing on a global scale is providing not only an alternative to the United States, but also showing the United States that it no longer essentially is the dominant superpower in the region. And that's why countries like Iran, which are revisionist, revolutionary, radical states in the most negative sense of the word, find common interest with Chinese interests. For example, the fact that Iran is able to export huge amounts of oil to China and bypass American sanctions, and they're using this barter system, this alternative economy system, is an example of how these two countries are working together economically, and that how that actually turns into a strategic problem because it helps prop up the Iranian regime. Now, just to be clear, the Chinese that don't have any ideological, let's call it commitment or admiration for the Islamic Republic of Iran. Quite the contrary, they're actually interested in avoiding wars in the Middle East because that would threaten their oil supply. So they are trying to play a sort of balancing game. But the Chinese determination to undermine the United States in the region dovetails very nicely with Iran's determination to kick out the U.S. from the Middle East. So they have too much in common, let's put it that way.
Malcolm, we have a couple of minutes.
Yeah. So if you could say now, Israel is put in a very difficult position. It has had, as you said and noted, long-term relationships, investment by China, and at the same time is very wary of Chinese involvement. And yet, for seeing the relationship with Saudi Arabia, the growth of the BRICS, the Shanghai Council, what policy options are open to Israel to be able to tread water during this in this relationship?
Right. So I think, you know, the peak of Chinese investment in Israel really seemed to have occurred in 2018, maybe the beginning of 2019. And at that time, first of all, pressure from the United States became very intense on Israel to limit this investment. We saw a lot of American anger over the fact that China is a Chinese state company, is running Haifa, the new Haifa port, the civilian port, which is right next to the Haifa naval base where American ships, naval ships often come and visit, and the Americans raised a lot of concerns over surveillance issues. For example, the idea of allowing a Chinese company to build a 5G cellular network in Israel was raised and then rejected. And we saw a debate within Israel as well over the extent of, you know, how much should lucrative economic offers be a consideration as opposed to strategic considerations. At the end of the day, to make things more simple, Israel reached, in my opinion, the right conclusion, which is that in any direct clash between its allegiance to United States interests and Chinese lucrative economic opportunities, the United States has to come first. It should never be a dilemma. It's not a dilemma at this time. The decision was made a number of years ago, and we're seeing a significant decline in Chinese investment within Israel as a result of that decision. At the same time, Israel is not, you know, an adversary of China. China is not an adversary of Israel. They don't see each other in that term. But certainly there is a reduction, and a lot of that reduction is due to U.S. pressure.
Yaakov Lapin, for the AMA Research and Education Center, China Transforming Its Economic Strength into Middle East Political and Military Influence, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.